It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 117, and thanks again for the reactions to number 116. It is good to be back. Now, last year we spoke a little bit about the Kurds. Al, do you know what's happening there?
The Turks seem to be giving them another hammering again, basically.
Yeah, there was an area set up for the Kurds where it's about 2-3 million people, and the Turks are now attacking it. Attacking the Kurds. I've noticed one testimony from a former ISIS fighter now fighting with the Turks against the Kurds, and there's nothing we're going to do about it.
This has been going on for ages. I mean, I remember back when I was at university, and the Kurds were being gassed then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the Kurds believe in the nation state. They want a nation state. The trouble is that the nation state they want is part of Turkey, part of Iran, part of Iraq, part of Syria. So, I mean, it's horrible what's happening to them. We used them to fight ISIS, and they were by far the best fighters, or best troops on the ground, if you like. And now we're going to abandon them. And I don't know, there's just something, for me, utterly reprehensible about that. And it's a sad indication of how things work in our culture, how things work in our society. We take people, we use them, and then we discard them. If we thought the Kurds were useful to us for fighting ISIS, then maybe we could protect the Kurds. Anyway, President's Club. Do you know what the President's Club is? Have you heard about the President's Club?
I hadn't heard about it until I hit the news this week.
The controversial club behind a men-only fundraising gala in London, at which hostesses said they were groped and propositioned, has this evening announced it's to close.
I mean, this is supposedly a charity dinner that's only ever attended by men, and it's led to some allegations of sexism.
Yeah. I want people to listen really, really carefully to this, because this was something that was, I think, foreseen by someone like George Orwell. It's something that the Spiked group have been warning about for a while, and it's something that we saw as well, and it's this. Our liberal society is going to actually become more and more illiberal. Now,
puritanical.
Yeah. Here, well, don't use. See, you're using puritanical like a
as
swear word. So you're getting,
not,
a,
actually,
you're, getting a, you're getting a slap over the knuckles for that, because I'm a Puritan and Puritans are great. I love the Puritans. Puritans were radical. Puritans were political. Puritans were biblical. And Puritans were fun. So we're not going to use the term puritanical as a swear word anymore.
I'm a child of my generation. What can I say?
Yeah, you're just a closet liberal. No, what I wanted to look at in all of that. You know, the Puritan side of it, as they see, it's about control. Now, here's the problem: most Christians are going to look and say, "Look, this club, which basically, you know, women in skimpy outfits,
it's a dinner, smoke cigars, and, have a charity auction.
It's a men's club, like, you know, a lot of social clubs." And I am actually a Puritan on this one. I think it's degrading. I think it's demeaning. And I'm absolutely delighted in one sense that apparently our culture agrees and our politicians, or even though some of them were there, are disavowing themselves and saying it's terrible and it's sexism and so on.
Yeah, but it's the witch hunt that's coming now.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. The difficulty is not that. The difficulty is not saying, look, I think this is wrong. I think it's really wrong. If you catch me in anything like that, one, I'm losing my job. Two, I should lose my job. And three, I'd be utterly embarrassed before the Lord, which is what I'm much more concerned about. I do think it's degrading. I do think it's demeaning both to men and women. Mm-hmm. However, what bothers me is two things. The first thing that you said there, which was the witch hunt that goes, and also the clampdown that occurs. So what I'm very worried about is I think Google and YouTube and Facebook are going to clamp down on lots of people. And we'll come back to that.
We'll come to that. I mean, that's something we're beginning to see all over.
We are indeed. But the second thing that bothers me is just the sheer and utter hypocrisy. Because if you think having women dressed in skimpy outfits serving men at a dinner is sexist, can I suggest you're then going to close down all sex clubs. You're going to get rid of all pornography. Half the films and programs on television, you're going to stop.
Now, there's a manifesto. We'll yeah. call you the new Mary Whitehouse.
Well, you know, it's a Mary Whitehouse, I think, looks a bit liberal in comparison with some of these people.
Exactly.
But it is the sheer hypocrisy. Every single gay club town is going to close. Every single one. And also the complete irrationality and inconsistency. Now, if they want to go the route of, right, we've got to stop these things happening, fine, let's see it. Here's the big challenge for them. Go for internet pornography and let's see what you can do. Let's come on to our old friend, or now becoming old friend, or new friend, in fact.
Brand new friend, really, Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson, who, I'm sorry, I love the guy. I mean, I love him. I've just finished reading his book.
I've bought it as well, so he's got two sales from the members of our studio here today.
Yeah. Loved it, frustrated by it, but loved it. Just written a full review of it, a large review, which you'll get on my blog. Wrote an article for Christian Today, which has gone down rather well in terms of, I mean, people are fascinated. There have been articles about him in The Guardian, in The Independent, the BBC. There have been people bitterly attacking him, associating him with the alt-right and so on. But what do you think of it so far?
I think there's a danger of raising him up as some kind of hero. And in particular, because he's been so strong on issues like the transgender, the use of language and pronouns and things, there's almost a danger that we can set him up as some kind of like Christian hero. And actually, well, no, it's more complex than that. I mean, we so often talk about worldviews in terms of, in simple categories, you know, the Christian worldview is this. But actually, when you read his book, then he's kind of a very interesting and frustrating mix of, obviously, true Christian views, false Christian views, atheism, and Buddhism, or Taoism, you know, pantheism, really. So the parts of the book that really ring true are the parts that correspond with biblical truth, you know. So the part he seems to miss is that it is Jesus that is the truth. It's his word that is true. Christianity is true, and the visible forms of Christianity are true only to the extent that they are consistent with and they correspond with what the Bible reveals.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really good stuff in there, and you know, I would recommend reading it, but
it's worth reading, definitely.
Reading it with discernment. But one of the things that he's very, very strong on is gender differences, because what he's saying, you can see why the queer theory advocates and our new liberal elites hate him, and they do hate him with a passion.
Oh, the passion, yeah.
It's because he argues that gender is not a social construct, which we know, and he argues that it's something that's innate in our biology over, as he would put it, with his evolutionary psychology, hundreds of millions of years.
Mm-hmm. But you just see past those presuppositions, and you know there's a truth there.
Yeah, but the point is that he's making a statement that is true. The premise on which he makes it may be false, or we may disagree with. But the statement he's making is that we are male and female. That is an innate part of being human.
Yeah,
I mean, it is the way that God made us, and you know, that's what I'm saying. People are getting very, very, I mean, our society is getting confused. And we've got a couple of examples, because, Al, let me try you on the quick, you know, political correctness test.
I wish you'd give me some notice of what you're going to talk about, right? Fire away.
Do you believe men and women are equal?
Of course they are.
Do you believe, as Peterson was asked in his interview, that basically we're equally in terms of intelligence?
Yes.
Do you believe that men and women should be treated equally at university?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we now have a problem, because first of all, for the first time, and we can congratulate Oxford on this, there are more women undergraduates being accepted at Oxford than men for the first time in 800 years. So kudos. Good. No problem with that. However, it has come to light that Oxford University have increased exam time for women in order to improve their low scores.
Yeah, in maths exams, they're giving them an extra 15 minutes to complete the examinations. The questions are the same, they're the same difficulty,
yeah.
But women get 15 minutes longer than men. How sexist is that?
Well, I'm not even sure that it's that women get 15 minutes longer. I think it's that they both can get 15 minutes longer, but it's been done because of women, because women need more time to complete the papers. And because too many men were getting first-class honours, I think it was one of the students said, a female student said, I'm uneasy about schemes to favour one gender over another. So, you know, it's an interesting one. We're saying men and women should not be treated equally, or are they saying that men and women are different, therefore we need to increase the times to allow the women to compete fairly? So that's part of the confusion. Another part of the confusion is, I wonder what our listeners think. I wonder what you think of this, Al. What do you think of gender-specific lists for party political candidates?
I think they have now become pointless. Because you might as well throw it up. I mean, it's now become meaningless, hasn't it?
Yes, it has become meaningless. Because last week I pointed out that for some posts on the Labour Party's national executive, it says those who identify as women. It's a list reserved for those who identify as women. They've gone a step further now. Now they are having gender-specific lists for MPs, for parliamentary candidates, and they specifically state that it's not women, but it's women and those who identify
as women.
And men who identify as women
are eligible to
are eligible to stand for that. So, I mean, the feminists were right. Germaine Greer was right. The TERFs were right.
You said that this was going to happen about a year ago.
And I got totally mocked. And it's happening. It's happening right now. It's happening in sport. It's happening in politics. The feminists are absolutely correct. This is really sticking the boot into feminism. And it's the destruction of male and female. And so there's no point for feminism. It's like Peter Tatchell. You know, there's a broader picture here. Peter Tatchell argued that we shouldn't need to use the term homosexuality once we've got to a stage where there's no real sexuality. In other words, when he's saying it's so amorphous.
Less and less people will identify as homosexual, but more people will be having gay sex.
Yeah. And that's where we're going. You see, this is where Peterson clicks in. This is where all of this clicks in. It's part of the confusion of our society.
So what's the solution, though? Well, Peterson doesn't have the solution.
Well, no, I think the solution... Actually, he does. I think he does. I think he has the solution saying recognizing what is natural, recognizing what is there. I think what he doesn't have the solution to is how you fix what is broken. Anyway, speaking of what is broken, this is a very, very personal question. Al, how old are you?
47.
When did you
I'm 48. My birthday's next week.
Okay. So when did you realise you'd grown up? When did you grow up?
At the age of 40.
I was at 40, I only realised I was 17.
But I still feel 18. But no, I mean, there's this report out now that has said that adolescence has now extended from the teenage years, and adolescence now lasts from the ages of 10 to 24, although it used to be 19.
Yeah.
It's a report in The Lancet, it's an opinion piece in The Lancet.
Yeah, what we're seeing happening is puberty, for example, dropping. So till around the age of 10 because of health, hormones, and all the rest of it.
Right.
We're also seeing the whole question of lifestyle and intellectual, psychological development. But this comes back, I don't know where you're at in Peterson's book, but when you get to the bit on child reading, there's a chapter on child reading, which I would print.
I haven't got there yet.
I'd print it separately. I'd give it to every parent. It's brilliant. But one of the problems that he identifies with is that parents are scared of their children. In effect, what we've said on here before.
The child becomes the boss.
The child is being treated as an adult and the adults have become infantilized.
Right.
So you have got 30-year-old men who've become infantilized. So that, you know, they're not learning to grow up. They're not learning to be on their own. They're not learning even to be in their own families.
They want their mum to do everything for them.
Yeah, and we are creating absolute chaos. Now, as I said, read Peterson's chapter on that. It's stunning. It's a stunning... for me, probably the best thing I've ever read on child rearing.
But I mean, how much of this do you reckon is? I mean, because you know, if you look back, three ages? So you've got like an agricultural age. You know, a man would develop into being an adult at the age of 16. You would be learning your father's trade as a farmer, or whatever your father's trade was. And then we had the industrial age, and the increase of adolescence expanded again. And now we're in an information age, and it's expanded yet again. So is this just us as humans adapting and responding to?
No,
the environments we're finding ourselves in.
No, I think
the environments change us.
No, I don't think I would actually agree with that, because I think it goes in cycles. I think it depends who you are. I think our current environment is geared towards infantilizing adults, uh-huh. and therefore to treating children as adults. So again, if you...
Maybe what we're seeing at the moment then is a backlash against that.
Yeah.
This is the beginnings of turning that around.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of that, but I think it's interesting. I hadn't come across this before. This is one I hadn't come across before, but maybe our listeners are ahead of the curve on this one. Peterson talks about adultism,
right? Okay.
Which is basically being prejudiced towards adults, and children are to be treated exactly the same as adults. I mean, it's as he says, it's weird,
ludicrous.
weird.
Yeah. I reckon as one of the things that you're talking about Labour Party candidates and on elections, if this is true, we should raise the age of voting. We shouldn't be taking it down like in Scotland to 16. I think it should be increased to 21.
But there was a very, very interesting warning from the Tavistock Clinic, which is the only NHS gender clinic for children in mm-hmm. England. And there's a psychologist there who's saying, you know, you want to go like, duh, he's saying that some children there may be making choices they could regret.
Absolutely. I mean, he says, you know, perhaps the choices they make when they're 16 look different when they're 30. But he makes a really interesting point about how the schools are almost keen to rush them into it.
Well, the schools are desperate to do it. And the schools are desperate to do it not because of care for the child. They don't care two hoots about the child. They really don't. What they're concerned about is whether they can get their Stonewall Award. Whether they can get, you know. I mean, it's... Well, anyway, we've said many, many things about it. We'll leave that one. Let's reflect on something a little bit more cultural.
It must be remembered that we are in the preliminary stage of one of the greatest battles in history, and that many preparations have to be made here at home. Sir, I take up my task with buoyancy and hope and say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
Yeah, there's a new film out, a biopic of Winston Churchill. Gary Oldman plays the leading role. And I'm going to let David explain himself, because he wrote this week that he's changed his mind about Scottish independence. Oh. Explain that one. What on earth is wrong with you, man?
I know. Right, okay. The background to this one. I mean, it's funny because I can't win on this one either way. Because when I say that my natural instinct, not my natural instinct, my thought through position was I wanted Scotland to become an independent country. There are people who are utterly horrified at that. And when I say it now, I think, well, now is not the time. There are people who are actually horrified at that, so I'm not going to win either way. But the simple explanation why this film worked for me, it's a very simple one. I think nations should govern themselves, and I think that Scotland was part of a united kingdom, which was based upon certain things, not least Protestantism
yeah.
was a major factor, but also the empire, capitalism, and I would say a certain... aspect of
okay, the empire's gone.
Liberal values, and I would say, you know, largely these have gone apart from capitalism, and the capitalism is now global. So I was thinking, what's the point? There's no point to the United Kingdom, and I thought it'd be good for Scotland to be independent. But I kind of changed my mind at this stage for two reasons. Number one is I don't think Scotland leaving the United Kingdom and joining the EU is independence. I think it would be a greater.
It's worse. Yeah.
So that's one thing, and that's a personal political opinion. Others will disagree. But here's watching this film, there were many, many good things about the United Kingdom. And I think many bad things, by the way, many bad things about the British Empire, but many good things as well. And one of those good things is this, I would call liberal values in a good way, openness, tolerance, and I think especially democracy. And then you're watching this film and it's describing Churchill. Now, how accurate it is in terms of his emotional feelings, we don't know, because it's drama. But it does it brilliantly. It's so brilliant. The film is brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I mean, I was very emotional. In fact, to be honest, I was weeping through the whole thing, because by the very clever use of light, darkness and light, and the imagery and so on, you get this tremendous sense of 2 to 3 weeks in British history where it was nearly over. Mm-hmm. If Churchill, I mean, I don't, now here's where I changed my opinion. I didn't like Churchill. He was the MP for Dundee. He was a drunkard. Right. You know, there's so many different things. Yet, brilliant writer, did some good things as well. In other words, he's human. He's messed up and mixed up.
Fallible. Yeah.
But when I watched this, I realized, do you know this? If Churchill had not been prime minister at that point in British history, Lord Halifax, Chamberlain, who died very shortly afterwards, they would have surrendered to Hitler. They would have sought peace, and world history would have been completely changed. So for that period, at that time, I believe that God took this man and made him stand firm. And because of that, Nazism was defeated. And ultimately, I would say Stalinist communism was ultimately defeated as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at that and people laugh and mock about the days of prayer that were held in Britain and all the rest of it. And Churchill himself was not a professing Christian. And yet I couldn't help but think God preserved our island and there was something worth preserving. And that's where I've come from. I think there's something worth preserving in what remains of the Christian values and ethos of this country. Does that make sense?
The question is, how do you do that? Whether that's achieved through remaining in union or through recognizing us as four separate countries. Something has to change.
Yeah, well, what's not going to happen? We're not going to have a situation where Scotland becomes independent and becomes a Christian nation. That's not going to happen.
No.
You know, we're pushing ourselves to be the most liberal progressive nirvana in the world, and it's not going to happen. What we're going to do is Scotland's not going to become independent because of the EU now. I don't think it's just not going to happen. We're not going to have this conversation again in my lifetime. I do not foresee Scotland becoming independent. However, the bigger question is, you know, is there something that's worth preserving and how do we preserve it? Well, there's a quote, maybe this is a good way to finish. And by the way, please, please, please go and see the film. Two quotes. One is the more important one, the biblical one, John 1 verse 5. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Yeah. Brilliant. The second is the quote that appears at the end of the film up on the screen from Churchill. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. I love it. Success is not final. Things are going well in your church. Things are going well in your life. You've had, you know, things go well here at Solas or whatever. Success is not final. You keep going. You have to keep going. The battle's not over. And failure is not fatal. Mm. You screw up. You get something wrong. Some disaster happens. Different things occur. It's not fatal. We keep going. We persevere. We persevere. We persevere. And on that note, I think we will love you and leave you and see you next week. And that's it from the Jordan Peterson Show.